one of the lead column for the Fighting Bills.
Base hit down the left field line. Greg scores.
Who is it? Rollins has won it. They stream out of the dugout. Yeah. Rollins ball near third. This game is over.
Second deck walk-off home run. Grand slam, Bryce Harper.
That's what I call hitting season.
Now batting for the Phillies, John Stolness.
Hey there, podcast pals, and welcome back to another edition of Hittin' Season. This is episode 506. I'm John Stolness from The Good Fight. You can follow me on Twitter at John Stolness. And coming up, we're going to talk about the Phils, and they have 2 weeks left to go here in this season, and they're doing everything they can to not make the playoffs here as they lose a game to the Orioles, a game against a team that is on its way to a 110-loss season, perhaps. It's just an absolutely awful loss at home yet again by a Phillies team that is allergic to positive momentum. But we'll talk about the Phils and where things stand as we record here on Monday evening, just after the Phils game and before the Braves-Diamondbacks game. Really gets deep into that one. We'll also take a look around Major League Baseball and just take a look at some of the races, the pennant races, the wild card races, and handicap who we think has the best shot at winning these things with 2 weeks left in the regular season. We are getting ready for some MLB postseason, whether the Phillies are in it or not. And joining me, as she does every week, is the great Liz Rocher from Yahoo Sports. Follow her on Twitter, at Liz Rocher, one of the best in the biz. Liz, how you doing?
How many games do you think the Pirates are going to win off of the Phillies? How many games do you think?
I need to get past the Orioles first. I don't know.
That's all I could think about because they are another terrible team vying for the number one draft pick. And the Phillies can't even play spoiler. They can't gain any ground right now. They lost to the Orioles. All they're doing is playing spoiler for the first draft pick next year.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah, flip the script. You know, we are ruining the Orioles' chances at getting the number one overall pick. Now I'm happy. Yeah.
Let me tell you,
it all worthwhile.
If they, I wouldn't be upset if they lost a bunch of games to the Pirates because they're an awful organization filled with, you know, people who care very much about having a tiny, tiny payroll. They've been rebuilding for a billion years. They do not deserve the first draft pick. No.
I think you're to answer your question, and you know, let's jump right in because I mean the Baltimore Orioles.
Yes, we can talk about the Orioles. We can talk about the Mets,
and the Pirates because you know I think it all works because you know the Orioles come into this series at 47-102. That's 47 victories and 102 losses. They've already lost more than 100 games here on the season. And the Phillies fall 2-0. Now, John Means is a good starting pitcher. So he's their one good starting pitcher. So there are many teams that have not performed well against John Means. But to be as ineffective and feckless as the Phillies were in this ballgame, they got four hits all game long. They did not get a single extra base hit in this game. In the ninth inning, Bryce Harper and JT Realmuto both hit some loud outs to the warning track. But when you're using a wiffle bat for the first eight innings, you're not going to get a whole lot of sympathy from me about hard hit outs in the ninth inning. So the Orioles got two first inning runs off of Ranger Suarez. He was a little shaky to start things off. And then Ranger, give him credit, made adjustments. You know, the Orioles came out with a game plan and Ranger Suarez made adjustments and ended up going six innings for this team, giving up seven hits, just those two runs with five strikeouts and just one walk. His ERA is at 1.60 this season. He threw 102 pitches. I mean, that's a good outing from Ranger Suarez. That is more than you could have asked from him as a starting pitcher to get you deep into that game. And this offense, which again is not loaded with all-stars at this point, just can't get anything done against an Orioles team that has already lost more than 100 games and is steaming towards 102. So they lose the first game of a three-game series against the Orioles. And then, as you mentioned, Liz, they have four games against the Pirates this weekend. The Pirates are at 56-93 entering play on Monday. I don't know. I really felt like if you're a playoff team, maybe expecting them to win all seven games is too much. A seven-game winning streak is pretty hard. But certainly six out of seven, I think, is the minimum. And now they've got to run the table here the rest of the week because the Braves are out in Arizona playing the Diamondbacks, and they don't suffer from the same problem as the Phillies do when it comes to the lesser teams. They beat
the teams they're supposed to beat.
So, I mean, I don't know what to do from here. I mean, it's next on Tuesday, the Phillies have a bullpen game. Yet another another planned bullpen game. Because this entire organization is telling you they have no more than four Major League Baseball caliber starting pitchers in the entire organization. So you have a bullpen game now. Now, against other teams, maybe it's a bigger worry than against the Orioles, who stink. But the Orioles didn't even play Cedric Mullins in this game here on Monday. I don't know. What were you thinking? What were you feeling as you watched as you watched this offense struggle against a just brutally awful Orioles team?
I mean, this is what they do. This is what they do. And I don't know why. Like, is it, you would have to assume by now, if for some reason when they face bad teams, there's just a lack of preparation or, you know, taking your position for granted. But you would think after an entire season or two or three of that happening, eventually they'd get the message and stop that. By now, they should have got the message. So I can't imagine it's that. But what is it? This happens a lot. Like, this is a terrible loss. This is really annoying. Am I surprised? No.
No.
I'm not surprised. Like, if you asked me which team in Major League Baseball was most likely to do this exact thing, it would be the Phillies.
Yeah. Yeah. That's 100%. Well, I mean, this is what they've done all season long. They go into Arizona and they get their pants pulled down. They host the Colorado Rockies, who had 18 road victories. We declared the season over last week. At least I declared the season over. It was over.
Yeah.
And then it still was, by the way. And you know what? Hey, that series may ultimately be what sinks them, because they actually did get it to within one game of the Atlanta Braves this week. While they were, after Saturday night's win against the New York Mets, the Phillies had moved to within one game of the Atlanta Braves in the National League East. And obviously after the loss on Sunday, tough loss on Sunday, but, you know, they played pretty well in the first two games behind Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola. So give them credit. You know, they won 2 out of 3 against the Mets on the road. And you figure, man, okay, there's a springboard to get you. You know, you come back from 9-0 down in the final game of the series that they played against. The Cubs. And then you come out and you use that as a springboard in the first two games against the Mets. You lose the Sunday night game. It was a hard-fought game. You lost a lead, but, you know, you're not going to win every game. I didn't have a problem with the loss on Sunday night. It was a tough one, but not a ridiculous loss. This one here on Monday night was ridiculous. I mean, the Phillies got shut out by an Orioles team that came into this series having lost 8 of their last 9 games, and in each of those 8 losses had given up an average of 9.9 runs per game. Think about that. They'd lost 8 out of their last 9. In those 8 losses, they'd given up an average of 10 runs a game. The last time the Phillies were shut out by a 100-loss team, by the way, this is according to John Clark, was 23 years ago. So,
wow. Ha.
This was a loss that's even worse than it sounds, Liz.
What curse do they have? What evil witch did they piss off? Like, why is any of this happening? Like, there's no rational explanation for it. Like, other than this happens to teams all the time. It just, to us, Phillies fans who watch this team all the time, it feels like it happens to the Phillies all the time, more than other teams. Like, on Twitter this week, I was on Chin Music a couple weeks ago from Fangraphs, and I was my typical self, like, telling the truth. The Phillies do not look like a playoff team. They do not deserve to be a playoff team. And someone on Twitter, it was Meg Rowley, said, you know, I usually think that Phillies fans are a bit too much, and then I watch the Phillies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. And someone responded and said, listening to me on Chin Music gave them the exact same impression. I thought she was being hyperbolic. She's really not.
No. No, no, no.
You have to watch the team a lot to know that this is what they do, and there's no explanation for it. We can't figure it out. Four hits. Four. One of the leading MVP candidates is on this team. He played tonight.
Yeah. No, it's super frustrating. Part of it is that, you know, you're – I mean – when you go down the lineup, it's a little better right now. But I mean, you have a couple of guys in this lineup right now who are automatic outs. I mean, you've got Andrew McCutchen hitting in the five spot, who is an automatic out. Didi Gregorius hitting in the seven spot, who is an automatic out right now. Freddie Galvis has had some nice moments with the Phillies. I'm not going to get on Freddie Galvis, but he's hitting eight. So I mean, that's about where you want Freddie Galvis to hit. And I'm intrigued by Matt.
He's hitting over 230. That's not awful by most measures compared to
Galvis is at 250.
Gregorius.
Yeah.
Oh, Galvis is 250. Oh, I completely read the wrong. Jeez. Like,
you might have been looking
incredible.
At Ranger Suarez's batting average.
Yes, I was looking at that. No, like, that is more than respectable. 250 is decent and welcome on this team, especially compared to McCutchen and Gregorius, who are both hitting under 220.
Yeah. No, and I like Matt Vierling. I think he's hit really well. He got another hit tonight. He was one of the four hits that the Phillies had in this game. Went 1-for-3, and he's hitting .341. So he's an intriguing bat in the middle of the lineup. It's just the guys, the top of the lineup didn't get it done tonight. Odubel Herrera, Gene Segura, and Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper had got a walk, but was 0-for-3. So it's his second straight day without a hit. And it seems so foreign to go through a game without Bryce Harper doing something dramatic. And he almost hit a home run in the ninth inning. He hit one to the warning track, but wasn't able to quite nudge it out over the fence. But, you know, I think that this team just doesn't have the horses sometimes, especially in the lineup. They just don't have the horses to consistently put runs up. But that shouldn't really matter against this Orioles team, who, like I said, in eight of their last nine games had lost, and in those eight losses had given up an average of 10 runs per game. I mean, that's just insanity. But the Rockies, it was the same thing when the Rockies came into town. And this is a team that has always struggled on the road but done pretty well at home, but they have not been able to take care of business against the bad teams at home, with the exception of the Cubs and the Nationals. They've handled the Cubs and the Nationals okay mostly this year, but this has been a growing problem with this team, playing the bad teams. I mean, they are 3-4 in seven games against the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are 48-101. So they had a losing record against a D-backs team that already has 101 losses. They're 1-2. They lost an earlier three-game series in Pittsburgh against a Pirates team that is 56-93. They went 2-5 this year against Colorado, who is 70-79, but like I mentioned, was 32 games below 500 on the road when they came into Philadelphia and took 3-4 from the Phillies. And they've actually broke even against Miami this year, 8-8 against a Miami team that's 63-86. And yet we feel like that's kind of like an accomplishment, like a moral victory of some kind.
No, it's not. Anyone who feels that way is wrong and should feel bad about themselves. That is not a moral victory. That is the bare minimum. It's actually not even the bare minimum. It is less than the bare minimum.
Yeah. Yeah. Less than the bare minimum. So against those four teams, against Arizona, Pittsburgh, Colorado, Miami, possibly the four worst teams in the National League, teams with a combined winning percentage of .398 this year, the Phillies are 14-19. They're five games under 500. And that doesn't count the Orioles game tonight that they lost. So it's a crusher of a loss. It just is. You can't, when there's only 2 weeks left in the season and there's only 12 games left now, you can't depend on the Braves to tank here. You've got to take advantage of every one of these games against these subpar opponents. I mean, the Baseball Angels could not be lining a playoff spot up anymore. It's as if they've got a well-lit runway, you know, right in front of them. And they've got flags out on the tarmac, and they are waving the Phillies in to land this plane in the postseason and break this 9-year streak without the playoffs. And the Phillies are up in the air. They're doing barrel rolls, you know, and they're letting the passengers fly the plane. You know, I mean, they just won't park the damn thing. Just park the plane in the runway, beat these easy teams like everyone else in baseball has done, and go to the postseason. It's all laid out for them. They just can't do it.
Now, like, the big question here, like, for me, like, the Phillies are flying real close to the sun right now, because they have a chance at a playoff spot. They are just over 500. And they have a bunch of games lined up against awful teams. They play one win. They only play one more winning team. And it's three games against the Braves. The rest of their games are against the Orioles, the Pirates, and the Marlins. These are teams they have, like, they've already just been 8-8 against the Marlins. Like, there's a chance that the Phillies could not just miss the playoffs, but at the same time finish below 500 yet again.
Oh, and against this collection of talent.
Or even at 500. Even if it's at 500, the first person I see on Twitter acting as if that is a moral victory.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm not having that.
No.
Nope.
Get in my boot in their face, metaphorically speaking.
If you're a listener of this podcast and I see you on Twitter celebrating the Phillies finishing over 500, I love you. I love every one of our listeners. I'm coming at you with both barrels. I think Liz is too. It's not good enough.
And if they finish at 500, I'm going to lose it. Yeah. I'm going to lose it.
And the Braves are up 2-0 in the third.
Of course.
So this is where we're heading. And the whole point here is to get to that Atlanta series. I think no more than one game out. Right? I mean, if they go into that Atlanta series down three games, they've got to sweep in order just to be tied. You know, I mean, that's just... I actually think, you know what a funny thing is? I think they'll play better in Atlanta against the Braves than they'll play at home against the Orioles and Pirates this week.
Yeah.
That's what's frustrating. And they could go into Atlanta and maybe even leave Atlanta tied for the division lead or even a game up and then go into Miami for the final series of the season and lose 2 out of 3 in that series. That's just what that's how this team operates. That's just what this team does. And
exactly.
You know, I feel like the path is still there. You know, if they run off 6 straight wins this week, which is totally in the realm of possibility because of who they're playing and because they do have a couple of long winning streaks this year, they could do that. They could go on a run and still with who the Braves are playing, they might not make up a whole lot of ground at this point. So you can't lose ground this week. You just can't lose ground. You've got to keep up with the Braves because it's not going to get it. This is as easy as it gets. This is as simple as it gets. And the Phillies have to take advantage of it. Otherwise, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where to go with my anger. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to... I'm going to be angry about this. Like, I wrote an article for Bleeding Green Nation today about the Eagles, right? And just like... the game on Sunday didn't bother me that much. You know what I mean? Like, This is not a playoff. This is not a playoffs or bust season for the Eagles. You know there's going to be growing pains with Nick Sirianni and with Jalen Hurts.
I was mostly angry
that
it was kind of boring.
Yeah, it was a boring game. That's true. It was not an entertaining game. But I wasn't like I'm thinking like, you know, OK, they're going to be growing pains. Let's see it. Let's see if this team improves. You know, this is a season where moral victories are important and you can take some comfort in those. And next year's a season where they lose a game like that. I'm going to be upset. The Phillies are in a different place.
Yeah.
We've said it earlier in the season, Liz. Moral victory. We're done with moral victories. Like they have to win baseball games. Yeah.
Actual concrete real life victories are what we want. Like they actually, like if they go into the Atlanta series any more than one game out, it's over.
It feels like
honestly,
like it, yeah.
Because they would have to sweep them really to guarantee anything. Otherwise it's nail biting to the end because they play the Mets and the Phillies play the Marlins. Like this should be like a, I mean, I guess it is. It's a nail-biting race, but not for the reason you want it to be. You want it to be a nail-biting race because both teams are doing great, not because the Phillies have an easy schedule that you know you're constantly worried they're going to biff because it's what they've done all season. Like, if they break out of that mold now and prove me wrong, I will be happy to say from the rooftops, I was wrong. The Phillies have proven me wrong. But until that moment happens, all I have is history to base this
on. Prove us wrong. Please make us look stupid.
I've been saying that for years. That's been my motto. Prove this to me. I'm in waiting for a reason to be like, yes, I have confidence in the Phillies. At no point in the past 3 years have they given me any reason to be confident about them in context throughout the whole thing.
I also noticed, too, that, you know, there's no juice around this baseball team. Nobody believes in this team right now.
Mm-mm.
This is, you know, when you come into a season, you hope that you have a baseball team that's in a pennant race in the final couple weeks of September. And the Phillies are there, and however it is they got here. But the journey to get to where they are and you know, what their record is and how they've played really does matter. Like, you can't just say, oh, they're 2 games out. Why aren't there more people at Citizens Bank Park? You know, there were 21,440 people there. That's, I think, less than half capacity, which... This is a baseball town that loves a pennant race, But this doesn't feel like a pennant race. And that's what's most distressing about it, is because you just don't see this. This team doesn't feel like a playoff team because they haven't played like a playoff team all season long.
No, they haven't earned the right to be called a playoff team, to be called, you know, in the race. Like, no one really believes they're in the race. They are. There is a good chance that they could win. But no one feels like, until they actually do it, no one's going to care, because they have played so inconsistently, so frustratingly all season. Like, I feel like the Braves fans must feel sort of similarly, because their team has massively underperformed this year, too. Granted, they lost key players, but they have to be frustrated to be this way. But it's because they actually know how good their team is, and they're frustrated because they're so close to actually getting over the hump after losing key players, and they might not do it because the Phillies managed to trip over their own coattails into the playoffs by accident.
Paul Boyer tweeted before this game that the Phillies were 5-5 in their last 10 games. It's going to be 5-6 now, but just go with me for the sake of this tweet, because it's fun. These are fun numbers. Coming into the game on Monday, the Phillies were 5-5 in their last 10, 11-9 in their last 20, 15-15 in their last 30, and 20-20 in their last 40 games. Like, this is a team that revolves around a massive red star giant named 500, and they really just have an impossible time getting out of the orbit of this. Now, before we get to the break and we start, you know, looking at some of the other races around Major League Baseball, I did want to talk about the pitching staff against the Mets and Ranger Suarez here against the Orioles. Really encouraging stuff from Aaron Nola in the game on Saturday. He pitched really well against the Mets, so that was good to see. Again, didn't go super deep, but went deep enough. Kyle Gibson pitched really well on Saturday night, so this was a good time, a good turn through the rotation for the Phil starters, and that's what they're going to need here over these last couple of weeks. I do wish they could figure something out so that they didn't have to do these bullpen games. I would have loved to see them call up Hans Kraus for these last few games, Liz. Yeah. I know he hasn't pitched much above AA, and I'm not interested in rushing pitchers before they're ready, but he's not, like, it's not like he's 19. You know what I mean? Like, he's a young guy, like, no doubt about it. But for a couple of starts in September, let's see if you get a Marty Bystrom situation out of him.
Yeah, I mean, there's no harm. Like, let him see major league pitching. If he hasn't pitched above AA, then let him see some major league pitching, because I think it'll do, you know, I think it would do good, you know, do well to motivate him, you know, like, this is where I am. This is where I need to be. Oh, God. Oh, God. Or maybe it's surprising. Maybe he does well, you know, maybe he
benefits from nobody having ever seen him before.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, I don't feel like there's any real drawbacks, any at least predictable drawbacks.
So, before we get to the break, I'll just ask you here. The Phillies are 2.5 out as we record this. The chances are better than not that they'll be 3 games back. What are the odds that you think the Phillies end up pulling this off?
Honestly, it's 50-50.
Yeah, it's 50-50. See, so I'm amazed you've got it even that high. I'm amazed you've got it at like 50%.
I know. Like, I want to be... I don't really believe it's 50-50. Like, I want it to be that, because I'd like to think that, you know, it's possible that the Braves, you know, do the same. You know, it's possible the Braves have a bad spell. You know, they are also, you know, despite being a few games better, they are also perilously close to 500 and have been most of the season. You know, it's possible that it could happen. And I would love to believe that it could, because, you know, above everything, I do want the Phillies to actually make the postseason. I don't think they deserve to. I think they'll get eliminated immediately, but it would be nice to have a reason to watch October baseball for even a day.
Yeah.
Even a day.
Yeah, just one game. Well, it would be exciting, you know?
They're just not going to see a wild card game. I'm sorry. Yeah. They're just not going to.
No, I'm at like 20%, and that's about where the Baseball Reference and Fangraphs odds have them at too here. I mean, because it is really, really, really hard. Really hard to make up 3 games in 2 weeks. It just is, guys. It's real. It happens. It certainly has happened before. And of all years, when you've got a weak Braves team that's in first place, it is certain. And the Phillies' schedule, it certainly is possible. But there is just this team hasn't given you any reason to believe that they can pull off the upset here and and track the Braves down. So obviously, as we record this, the Braves will be playing out in Arizona. They are already ahead in the early part of that game. At the end of the night, we'll see exactly where the Phillies end up. But a disastrous first game against a Baltimore Orioles team that right now is the worst in baseball, although the Braves are going to try and help the Diamondbacks catch them out west as well. We'll step away, take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take a walk around the rest of Major League Baseball, some of the other pennant races, and get some thoughts on where the Major League Baseball awards, offseason awards, stack up with just 2 weeks left in the season. That's coming up next here on Hittin' Season. And we're back on Hittin' Season. So we're going to go around the league and take a look at some of the other races going on around Major League Baseball. We told you about the National League East. You are well acquainted with that. Looking in the Central, Milwaukee has already clinched a playoff spot. They are running away with the Central Division at 91-59. They're up by 10.5 over a red-hot St. Louis Cardinals team, who we'll talk about in just a second. They've won 9 in a row, and yet Milwaukee is still up 10.5. So that just goes to show you how good
each other right now. Milwaukee and St. Louis, they're playing each other right now.
Well, I guess they could still come back, but no, it's more than likely Milwaukee's going to win that thing going away. And Cincinnati has had a decent season. They're 14 back at 77-73. We'll talk about those two teams when we get to the wild card here in just a second. The National League West is obviously a fascinating division here, Liz. You've got the Giants and Dodgers separated by a game. The Giants at 97 wins, the Dodgers at 96 wins. Both have clinched a playoff spot, but it's obviously a big deal for one of these two teams to win the division and for the other to play in a one-game playoff where anything can happen. I know the Giants, I think, have the easier schedule for the last couple weeks of the season, but if you're the Dodgers, I don't know that that really matters a whole lot. So how do you see this one shaking out with 2 weeks left in the season? Do the Dodgers overcome the Giants?
I'm going to say one thing first. It is frustrating that they are not facing each other in these last weeks.
Are they really not?
No. Like, I'm looking at the Dodgers' schedule. It's, let me see, Rockies. Yeah, they're off today. It's Rockies, then Diamondbacks, Padres, and what's the last team? And Brewers.
Oh, come on, yeah. Major League Baseball.
I know.
Schedule makers. This is a dynamic, even before this year, it's always a dynamic rivalry between these two.
Oh, yeah. Like, I have no idea how it's going to shake out. It's the most exciting race. I love that they've both made the playoffs, and now they're just playing, you know, they're playing for something important, you know, a free pass to the actual first round. But it's also like we're playing for pride. This is, you know, we're playing to win. Like, we've both made the playoffs. Now we're going to play really hard against everyone else and make them work for it, which is fun. That's what baseball should be.
I mean, it would really just be tremendous content, you know, for these two teams to go at it over the last, you know, two different series, one in L.A., one in San Francisco. They need to make that a thing pretty much on a yearly basis. So I don't know. I think the Giants are going to hold the Dodgers off. They've done it all season long.
Yeah.
I do think the Giants have an easier schedule. They just have a special magic about them this year. The Dodgers are really, really great. But I think the Giants will figure out a way to hold them off and end up winning the NL West.
I mean, they are, hold on, I think they're facing, they're facing all, you know, in division teams. They're facing the Rockies, the Diamondbacks, and the Padres. They're facing the same three teams until the final game. And then they play the Padres again while the Dodgers play the Brewers.
So that's where the Giants' strength of schedule advantage comes in there in that last series of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that maybe by the Brewers have nothing else to play for. It would be very hard for them to lose the lead. So I would guess that they might do some, you know, when they get closer to the playoffs, they might do a little bit of resting, some bullpen games for, you know, different reasons than the Phillies, because they want to rest starters, not because they don't have them.
What a world. I can't imagine. We're through the looking glass now.
Weird.
Crazy stuff. Well, let's look at the National League wild card then, because that's where a lot of the action is here.
Yeah.
The Dodgers obviously have one of those spots. The St. Louis Cardinals, they're pulling away with this thing, actually, now as I'm looking at the standings. After their win here on Monday night, they now have a 3.5-game lead over the Reds, a 4-game lead over the Padres, and a 4.5-game lead over the Phillies. The Phillies can kiss the wild card goodbye.
Oh, yeah.
They've got a leapfrog over a few different teams and catch a red-hot Cardinals team that nobody is going to want to see in the playoffs. I mean, you know, the way Adam Wainwright is pitching right now, you match him up in a game against the Dodgers, that the Cardinals could very easily win a one-game playoff against LA.
Oh, sure.
The way they're going right now.
That's what makes it so exciting. I was thinking about that right now. Like, this is I like the additional wild card. I think it's great. You know, people complain about there being so much base. Like, I have a feeling by the end of it, my only complaint is that it's going to be one game and not three. But it should be one game. It should be winner take all, regardless of whether or not it's fair, because that's sports.
Huge drama. Yep.
Yes.
That's these sports. That is, yes. Yeah, totally agree. That is, you know, just because, you know, you play in divisions, things get split up. Sometimes you're in a tough division. Sometimes you're in an easy division. Deal with it. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how it goes.
Yeah. The Dodgers are going to win 100 plus games. And the St. Louis isn't going to win more than 85, 86. Like, then an 86 win team could knock off like a 102 win team. That is drama. I'm ready for it.
It's happened before, too,
yes,
by the
it
way.
Has.
It wouldn't be the first time. And let's also remember that if this were 1993 rules, like we saw with the Giants and the Braves in 1993, where you can win over 100 games and miss the playoffs entirely, all of a sudden a one-game playoff in the wild card isn't the worst idea in the world. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if this were played under 93 rules, the loser of that division, where both teams are going to win 100 games, one of those teams does not go to the postseason.
Ooh.
So I'm happy that they have the wild card, and so that we can see, which would be, I think it'd be a fascinating matchup in that one-game playoff. And it looks like it's going to be the Cardinals winning that second wild card spot. A little bit of time left in the season for the Reds to catch them. Padres are fading really, really quickly here. There's fights in the dugout. They're starting Vince Velasquez and Jake Arrieta every fifth day. So, you know, given the Phillies' bullpen issues...
Ooh.
I'm not pitching. I'd rather go bullpen game than Velasquez or Jake Arrieta. So,
yeah, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you.
So I'm looking over in the American League. All the division races are wrapped up. Tampa Bay, with the best record in the American League, has a 7-game lead on the Red Sox, an 8.5-game lead on the Blue Jays, and a 9-game lead over the Yankees. In the Central, you've got the White Sox with an 11.5-game lead over the Indians. Let me just say a quick thing about the Detroit Tigers, an improving team. That's a team
at
73-78. Good season for the Detroit Tigers. They're playing well in the second half. That's a team that I think is going to do some good things next year. You make a couple of key additions. They are building something there in Detroit. So they're kind of a fun team to watch.
They are. I didn't realize how good they were this year. Like this is more than decent. They are, you know, tied for second place with 73 wins.
Yeah.
But, like, this is like, considering how bad they've been, awful for a number of years, like worse than the Phillies were at their worst. It's been a long time for the Tigers. This is really cool.
Yeah, very neat. They're in third place right now. They look like they've kind of solidified that. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They've only got a negative 55 run differential. So that's not bad for a Tigers team that's kind of still trying to climb the mountain. And then in the American League West, Houston is up by 6 games over Oakland and up by 8 games over Seattle. So the action in the American League is in the wild card, where you've got Boston up by 1.5 games over Toronto for the top spot. Toronto right now with a plus 175 run differential, which is second best in the American League, are barely holding on to the second wild card. Toronto up by 0.5 game over the Yankees as we're recording this, up by 1.5 over Oakland, and up by 3.5 over Seattle. So you've got Boston, Toronto, New York, Oakland, and Seattle, all within 3.5 games of the second wild card, trying to battle it out. Who do you like in those two wild card spots between Boston, Toronto, the Yankees, and I think Oakland? I don't know that we need to include Seattle in this.
Yeah,
I'm pulling up
their schedules, and I'm like, I'm not going to bother to bring up the Seattle schedule.
Yeah,
3.5 games is a lot. And remember when their GM traded their really good closer? I wonder if they would have had this. I wonder if they would have had, you know, the wild card sewn up a little bit more and won maybe 3-4 more games if they hadn't done that.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's a fair question.
Someone should point that out. Someone should point that
out. I would imagine some of the players in the locker room may have pointed that out. Yeah.
I would hope so. I think Boston might have it sewn up. They do face the Orioles pretty close to last, and they face the Nationals last. That's a pretty good bet there. I really have had a lot of fun watching the Blue Jays this year. What a really exciting team.
They are.
They are so much fun. Oh, gosh, they play the Twins, but they also play the Rays. That's depressing. I would like to hope that the Jays make it, and I think the Red Sox will, too. The Yankees have had so many problems this year, staying healthy, being productive. I follow a lot of Yankees fans on Twitter. They're all unhappy all the time. That doesn't really mean anything. But I also follow Lindsay Adler of The Athletic, and it just seems like it's been a very tough year. It would be a nice reward for them to get to the playoffs, but I just, you know, in a lot of ways, I just don't think they deserve it. I would rather see the Blue Jays do it, and that's what I'm going to hope happens.
Yeah, I'm picking Boston and Toronto at this point, but I'll tell you, of all the teams that are kind of on the outside looking in, it's not the Yankees that I think have a good shot. It's Oakland. Oakland finds a way.
Always.
You know what I mean? Like, they always find a way somehow to insert themselves in just a game and a half back. They got a plus 69 run differential, which is only five runs worse than the Red Sox. So Oakland's had a very good year under the radar. Nobody's been talking about them all season long. And I think of all the teams kind of on the outside, I think Oakland's got the best shot at catching Toronto and or Boston. But I would like to see Toronto get into the postseason. That's a great fan base up there. As much as I hate them for winning the 93 World Series, that is a good fan base. And, you know, I love their young talent. Yeah. It'd be a lot of fun. Major League Baseball should be rooting for the Blue Jays over the Yankees I know they would never, because the Yankees are a huge draw, but the Blue Jays are more fun. They've got more fun. They got players who are more fun. It's a more talented team. That's what I would rather see as a baseball fan.
Absolutely. I mean, I'd feel bad for Oakland because they faced the Astros six games in their last stretch. They faced them six games, and that's tough. I feel like they might just miss it. I think they might just barely miss it this year.
Yeah. Well, in a couple of weeks, once this is all over, we'll give our postseason picks and all that kind of stuff too. But just kind of fun to see kind of where things stand here with a couple weeks left in the season. I do want to ask you about one end of season award race, and obviously it's the National League MVP race before we finish up here. I keep hearing a lot of talk. Like, I've been listening to a lot of MLB Radio Network on Sirius XM, and there's always a lot of conversation right now about Bryce Harper versus Fernando Tatis Jr. for the National League MVP. I think it's kind of settled between those two guys. Again, as of entering play on Monday, Harper led all National League players in Fangraphs wins above replacement, 6.3. Tatis was at 5.9. Harper leads in all the offensive categories, pretty much. There are not many categories, I think, where maybe Tatis has him beat. Stolen bases and RBIs is pretty much it. Runs scored, home runs. So those are four key areas. But you know, Harper's got all the other numbers to beat him, and I think Harper has meant more to his team than Tatis has. He's got, you know, Tatis has Cronenworth and Manny Machado, and while Harper has Real Muto, I think we've clearly seen Harper put this team on his back and take over entire ball games. And I said it a couple of days ago. I feel like this is Harper's MVP award right now, and I don't really think it's as close as a lot of the national media thinks it is. I think Harper's pulling away with this thing right now. I don't think it's all that close between these two guys, and that doesn't have anything to do with, you know, the dugout shouting match that Machado and Tatis got into the other day. I mean, I don't really care what that's all about. I think Harper has meant more to his team and has carried his team more here during the course of the season, and has the numbers to back it up to be the NL MVP. I think he's widening the gap between him and the rest of the field right now. Who would you give it to right now if you had to choose?
I'd give it to Harper for sure. No, I think this is a really fair race, because you can't say that the Padres and the Phillies have almost identical records. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, when it's between a guy who's on a team that's going to make the postseason, a guy who isn't, there's always that discussion about, you know, did the guy on the playoff team help his team win more? You know, if the Padres were that team that was going to make the postseason, there would be an argument against Bryce Harper, because the Phillies are almost a 500 team, and they are not going, you know, they'll make the playoffs by the skin of their teeth. You know, it's an argument that Harper helped them get there, but I feel like that would be a discussion, and I'm glad that it's not, because they're evenly matched teams, and so you could just look at the players as they are. And just by that metric alone, Harper's definitely pulling away. He's been excellent. I didn't think we'd ever see another MVP season from him again. And it's really depressing that it's on this team that can't get its act together. But
yeah, they're gonna waste it.
Yeah.
It just feels like they're gonna waste it, but which is really heart-wrenching.
It's really heart-wrenching. It is nice that they're gonna be in it to the end, and he's the reason. Without him, the Phillies would be nothing. You know, I'm so thrilled that we get to see great Bryce Harper again, because if you'd asked me at the beginning of this year, I would have said the odds are greater that we never see another MVP season again. And it's
this
season especially, like, he was injured. He got hit in the face with a baseball.
Right. And he was really bad for a 3-week stretch when he was hurt. Outside of that, he's been this player all season long. He's been remarkably consistent when he's healthy, and he hasn't had any back flare-ups these last couple of months, which has been just hugely important. He's played every single day, every inning of every game, every single day these last 2.5-3 months. And so he's been a monster. He's having one of the 3 or 4 best offensive seasons in franchise history. For my money, is the National League MVP, and I feel like, barring a collapse over the last couple of weeks, it's gonna be his award at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So just to wrap up here, Liz, one last note from Jason Stark about the Orioles shutout of the Phillies on Monday night. He quotes a stat from Elias Sports. It's the first road shutout thrown by any 100 loss team in 5 years. The last time a 100-loss team threw a road shutout at someone was when the Twins beat the White Sox in a Hector Santiago start on the next-to-last day of the 2016 season.
You know, Jason Stark may not be a writer about the Phillies anymore. I still feel like he brings out his best stuff.
He does. He brings out the big guns for
Phillies
stuff.
Finds those stats. He knows exactly where to look. He still knows this team better than any other team in baseball. And he hasn't, you know, it's been decades now that he's, you know, been the beat writer. And I just love that it's always, I can always depend on him to give me what I'm looking for with the Phillies. Like, how bad was this? How bad was this loss? Jason, tell me. And he always.
Jason is on the money with it. Every single time when we need perspective on how bad something is, Jason is always there to give it to us. And I love it. I love it because it's hashtag content. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? That's just awesome stuff. All right, Liz, any final thoughts before we wrap up? Oh, and I'm remiss. I'd be remiss if I didn't explain why Justin's not with us here on the podcast.
He's been abducted by aliens. It's really,
he has been abducted by aliens, and we're very happy for him. No, he is Justin. Celebrated his wedding this past week. He'd gotten married last year, but I got to see Liz and Justin and Trev this weekend, and your lovely husband Sean at Justin's wedding up in Pennsylvania. And it was just—it's so funny that, you know, we do this podcast every week and we talk to each other all the time through Zoom and everything else, and online on Slack and stuff like this, but we never get to see each other ever. And it was just so awesome to see you guys and to hang out. And Justin's enjoying a honeymoon, so he's away for a little bit. So Liz and I are kind of handling the podcasting duties, but it was so great to see you guys this weekend. And I wanted to mention that's why Justin wasn't on the podcast tonight. But my best to Justin and Aviva, and it was fantastic seeing them.
Yes. I'm very happy for them as well. It was so much fun seeing you guys. I hadn't seen Justin and Trevor since my wedding in 2019, and I hadn't seen you since 2016, I believe, 2015. It's been a really long time for someone that I speak to pretty much every day.
I know, right?
We talk to each other pretty much every day, and this is the first time we've seen each other, some of us in 5 years. So it was really fun and cool. My only final thought is there are a lot of fun playoff races. If the Phillies are giving you stress, don't feel like you have to subject yourself to it. You are allowed to say no. They've got condensed games. They've got highlights. You could just look at the box score and be annoyed while you're watching, you know, the Yankees or, you know, the A's or something like that. Watch a team that maybe you're not so connected to and breathe and have some fun. Before, you know, looking at the box score and being angry, or maybe happy. Maybe we'll all be happy.
And just keep checking in with the podcast. We'll let you know how things are going.
We will.
We'll let you know whether to be angry. Yes. We'll let you know whether to be happy. We'll walk you through it, and we can meet at the end, you know, and we'll meet at the finish line together, and we'll all hold hands, and we'll jump off the bridge together. It'll be great.
Yes. Well, now, will I be watching the Phillies? Probably.
Yeah.
No, I will say, MLB, if you do it, I think on your computer, they still have that. You could do the double screen. And so I can be, I can have the Phillies on one side muted and be watching, you know, the Dodgers on the other.
Yeah. So there you go. There's all kinds of ways that you can cushion the blow here over these last couple of weeks. But certainly not a great start. An inauspicious start to the final 2 weeks of the season. The Phillies getting shut out by the Orioles 2-0. You know, things looking a little bit more down for the Phillies' playoff chances than they were at the end of the night on Saturday night. It's amazing what 2 days can do in the heat of a pennant race, but that's where the Phillies are right now. No room for error here over the last couple weeks of the season. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this edition of Hittin' Season. Thank you, Liz, for joining me on the podcast once again. And, folks, don't forget to check out the Hittin' Season Patreon by going to patreon.com/hittinseason and seeing all the bonus content we have up there. And don't forget to tell your friends about the Good Fight podcast feed, all the great shows we have for you here as we take you through these last couple of weeks. Maybe, just maybe, we'll get a little miracle and see the Phillies make the postseason, but we will take you through the journey over these last couple of weeks, so make sure to check us out there and leave a rating and a review when you get a chance on Apple Podcasts. Thanks, everybody, for checking in. We'll talk to you next time here on Hittin' Season.